Today I'm talking about godliness with contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to start from verse 1. I'm going to read very quickly because it's a long chapter, all the way to verse 21. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. Now, Paul wrote this to Timothy, his son in the ministry, his son in the faith. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, notice, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you have a very good KJV Bible, you'll see that the words of our Lord Jesus Christ are usually marked in red. And Paul was telling Timothy, the pastor of the largest church in the world at that time, he said, if any man does not take heed, does not pay attention to wholesome words. And now, what did he mean by wholesome words? He now defined it by saying the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we need to concentrate and pay attention to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, such a person, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, which is the doctrine of Christ. He says, such a person is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. And I hope my sound is still proper online, because in-house sound has dropped a little bit, but that's fine. But it does ensure that my online people can hear me. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Please notice these words. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Underline in your Bible, men of corrupt minds. On your iPad or iPhone, whatever you're reading from, I'd like you to highlight men of corrupt minds. He used this same phrase in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Men of corrupt minds. I'm coming back there this morning. What does it mean to be a man of a mind that is corrupt? And some of them are in the pulpit. And destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. He said some men assume that gain is godliness. In other words, they believe that in as much as you are doing well financially, it means that God approves of you. Far, 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 foul. Some people believe, just get result. Just go and get result. They don't care how you get the result. The so-called result. If you see the car that guy is driving, do you know how he got his money? This message has crept into the church, and we need to be extremely careful so that at the end of the day, our Christianity is not about things, material things, how to get things and things and more things, and forget about Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the essence of our Christianity, without whom there is no Christianity, the author and the finisher of our faith. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I am seriously withdrawing myself from certain people in my life in this season. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry how much out? The day we die, this is how we go, with our palms open. And if the people are kind enough to the cadaver that we leave behind, they will wear white gloves for it. I have never seen a baby in my life born fully clothed, a baby coming from the mother's womb and is all Gucci and Louis Vuitton and all the bling, 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 nice perfume. I've never seen that in my life. When a person dies and they wear all the bling bling, they have only put some money into the coffin for armed robbers to come in the night and break the coffin and steal the valuables away. The dead body cannot fight. Dead bodies don't fight. The Bible says we brought nothing into this world. Think. This message is for thinking people. And wherever this message will get to, I want Christians to reevaluate their walk with God and really think. If I catch you on your phone this morning, I will embarrass you from here. I promise you that you may not come to this church again. That's fine. If I catch you, you are not in media ministry, and I see you on your phone, I will, I promise. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. I will embarrass you from here. This message has the ability to reset somebody's head so that God can begin to do his work in their life. If you now allow the distraction you brought from home to also distract you in the presence of the Lord, it shows you are not wise. And I will help you to be wise. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, Paul the aged wrote to Timothy, the pastor of the largest church. Because the larger your church, usually in the natural, the larger the offering. And the more you are susceptible to error, because you can begin to think that because my church is growing, millionaires are joining my church, I even have 2 billionaires in my church, you think God has approved of you and everything you say is right. No, brother. No, brother. Not necessarily so. The blessings of God are not always a sign of his approval. He causes his rain to fall on the good and the bad. The sunshine falls on the Yahoo boy as much as it falls on the pastor. There are general blessings of God. Let us never use that to define the level of our spirituality. One man opened his mouth in Abuja and said, he's on social media now. He was quoting Job 36:11. Put that on the screen for me. I'll come back here. Job 36:11. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. He said, poverty is a sign that there is sin in your life. Is that a scriptural statement? Can that be scripturally balanced? Ah, mercy, Lord. Build your church. This is a respected voice in Pentecostal circles. So many young people in that meeting. And they went home with that mentality. Such messages turn people away from Jesus. They turn people to, how do I now get things? Because since they said, if I serve God, I will have more. The more I have, the more my spirituality. It shows that that's how spiritual I am. This is why, listen. Boys leave church and they go home to commit fraud, to do ritual killings. Because nobody asks where they got the money that they used to buy their first car from. A boy that has no job brings home Lexus ES250. And the parents will not ask, where did you get the money to buy this car? A girl that is in school, undergraduate, brings home iPhone 14 Pro Max. Your father has never saved a lump sum to buy that kind of phone before. Every money coming in, he's apportioning it. After he pays the tithe, there must be something for house rent. There must be something for fuel. There's something for your school fees. And they work all year round. They can't even afford it, but your phone can buy your father, buy your mother, and nobody's asking questions. There are mothers today who even take their sons to big brothers in the neighborhood and say, help me train my son in Yahoo. You know why? Apart from politicians who have messed us up in this country, who show their ostentatious lifestyle, social media is not helping because everybody posts their best pictures and videos on social media, fake life. The real life is behind the scenes. The church also is not helping matters because we have pastors who say that the more spiritual you are, the richer you should be. So I want to impress my pastor. I want him to know that I'm a spiritual person. So I go and get results anyhow. Because after all, when I bring a car to church and I tell pastor to come and dedicate it, he won't even ask me where I got the money from. And I will be supporting the ministry, 1 million every month. And the moment pastor does not see 1 million, he will call. Hello, bro, we have not seen your seed this month. I hope all is well with you. The Lord shall prosper you. The Lord shall bless you. Everything you do, you lay your hands upon, even though it is human blood, everything you lay your hands upon shall prosper. It is not every prayer that God answers. In fact, the Bible says that the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Are you with me, church? This message is for the salvation of your souls. Some of us, our souls are not yet saved. Ah, pastor, I've been coming to this church for 6 months. I've been coming for 1 year. You might have even been coming before I became a pastor. Listen very attentively this morning. Paul the aged was writing to Timothy, a senior pastor. See what he wrote in the next verse. Verse 8 now, back to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. He said to him, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Do you know what raiment means? Clothes. Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, if you have food and you have good clothes to wear, be content. People judge you by luxury. I wrote on my status yesterday, for those who followed. As the Lord was cooking that in my spirit, I was boiling. So I needed to just find a way to let the steam out. I've been to some ministers' conferences in this country and outside this country. I know that in this country, I have 2 cars, by the grace of God, blessed. I have a Mitsubishi Galant, 1993 model, very old car. The problem with that car is when something breaks down, it's very difficult for the people to get the parts, the mechanics and the whatever people to get the parts, the spare parts, because it's an old car. But I still like it. It reminds me of so many things. So I like the car. If I drive to a minister's conference in that car, the reception will be very poor. Some of the indicator lights are broken, they are cracked. The car doesn't have an AC anymore. It was removed by an overzealous mechanic who assumed that an AC would spoil the engine. So he removed it. It came with an AC when I got it, but no more AC. So now you have to wind down and enjoy the blessing of the Lord through the breeze. So when you are driving it, you need to have a handkerchief. So when you step down, wipe. And then carry your Bible. And then some ministers will look at them and say, oh, he's still in the struggling stage. Lord, have mercy on him. Please help Pastor Fred, help PFE. The Lord is a faithful man. Lord, bless him. They don't know I have another car. If I go into the same meeting with the other car, which is relatively a nice car, it's not the best in town, but at least a nice car, nicer than the Mitsubishi. And I step down like this, and I'm looking very clean. By the time I'm leaving that conference, some younger ministers than myself, and some my age mates, and maybe some older than me, will come and say, sir, the Lord showed me in a dream that you poured oil on me. You anointed me. You are my father in the Lord. Can we start the relationship now? Anoint me now! You know the anointing they want to collect? Anointing to drive Benz. Material things. Now, they will judge the man who brought Mitsubishi by what he's driving, because, you know, it's a smaller car, so his anointing was very low. But the one with Mercedes, even though it's M&M, this one is a higher anointing, because you can see by result. You can see result. You can see what he's preaching by what he's driving. Many don't know that it is not what you drive that defines you in life, but by what drives you. Let me tell you, what you drive can change anytime, positive or negative. What drives you is what will determine how far you will get in life. And if it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, then you know that your final destination is called glory. Are you getting what I'm saying? Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's, okay, I've left that already, verse 9. But they, now listen everybody, but they that will be rich, they that hustle for riches, they who are desperate to be rich, will fall into temptation and a snare, the Bible says, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, the love, not money itself, but the love of money, is the root of how much evil? Anywhere you see evil, at the root of it, the love of money is there. Any kind of evil. People today have become homosexual. They were born straight, but they are homo. They are homo now because of money. I just suddenly discovered my sexuality. I just found out that I've always had that inclination though, but not a man anymore. And if you don't mind, refer to me as a she, all right? I'm Barbie. A man. A man with a phallus. Only medical students understand that. You say you're a woman. You're mad. Because of money. Because of the love of money. People change their names. Change their age, date of birth, because of the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Kai. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow. Chase after, number one, righteousness, number two, godliness, number three, faith, number four, love, because faith worketh by love, number five, patience, because when you're walking by faith, believing God, you must be patient. Those of you that want instant result, many times with God, because instant is a fraud, scam, is a scam. And those are places you have people en masse. They are looking for the God of Ojiji. Ojiji, Ojiji. Whatever happens, Ojiji will intimidate you, will scare you. God is a God of process. Why can't a woman get pregnant one night, the next day, born, pia, just give birth? Ojiji, that's Ojiji now. But no matter how spiritual you are as a woman, you will go through the period of 9 months. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because God is a God of process. God is the God of order. He could have made the whole world in 1 microsecond, 1 millisecond. God could have created everything. Light, ground, fish, man, tree, everything. Firmament. In God will just make one statement. Everything will come to pass. Why did he say, day one, light be, and light was. And God saw that it was good, and then he rested. Then day two, and then something else. And then day three. Did he not have the power to do everything that was? God was teaching us process. God was teaching us process. That's why in each of our lives, God is interested in process. God always processes us first before we come to fulfillment and manifestation. God is a God of process. He will process your character. He will work on your heart, your cravings, your desires. God will process you before he hands you what he wants to hand you. Because you are more important to him than what you are trying to get from him. Satan doesn't care about process. That's why we give events out to a 16-year-old boy that has no job. Bow before me, I'll give you everything. whether he even knows how to drive or not. Isn't it funny? Some of those Yahoo boys, they don't even know how to drive. So they just put L, the one that he buys the car. If you have worked your life, you finish from medical school, you have worked for 5 years to save money, little by little, after being called doctor, to buy a Toyota Camry 2001. Are you telling me that you would not have taken the pain to go through a driving school 6 months before you buy the car? Will it please you that the day you buy the car, you want to go and bash a gate? Because you have been through a process. But because the money came like that, Zoa, 20 million. The next thing, you go to Lekki. And then the big things. One boy said that to me. He says, money came like this, big things. I'm not condemning anybody, even if that's your lifestyle. I want to show you the way this morning. You have not been told the truth before. I want to tell you the truth. It is now your choice whether you will take the truth and say, God really loves me for me to be in church this morning, or for me to be online to hear this morning. God really loves me. Or you reject it and walk away and say, well, stuff happens. Whatever happens, happens. And then you face the consequences. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. I'm charging you, Expression House, this morning. And before Jesus Christ, I'm charging you, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking at you. Don't press your phone. Unless you are reading your Bible from your phone. Next Sunday, bring a Bible. Bring a Bible. Buy yourself a paper Bible. I don't want to be confused about, Pastor, I was on my phone, but I was in my Bible. No, please buy a Bible. In Jesus' name. Amen. Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world. And I'm charging all of you that are rich. I'm talking to rich people this morning. Oh yeah, two people said amen. Amen. So it is not a sin to be rich. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've never condemned that. It's not wrong to be rich. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain. They are here today, they are there tomorrow. But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God gives us things, all things to enjoy. Can I have an amen? Amen. That they do good, that they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute, that is to help other people. Willing to communicate, willing to give. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have heard concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Somebody say amen. Very long one. It has taken a lot of my time. In his epistle to the young minister, Timothy, who was the pastor of the largest church at the time, Paul admonished him to pursue godliness and to teach it to his congregation. Godliness is the crux of our Christianity. It was why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross. Salvation isn't just about the new birth and going straight to heaven. Otherwise, we would have gone straight to heaven from the altar the day we answered the altar call. I hope you are listening to me now. God wanted and still wants us to represent him well in this fallen world. He planted us here as the light of the world and as the salt of the earth. Light to drive back the darkness and salt to preserve the world from decadence. And to give taste. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. If God didn't want us here, the day we got saved, we would have gone straight to heaven. But because God wants us as his ambassadors here, ambassadors of his kingdom, that's why he got us saved and we're still here. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? God wanted a body befitting for the head. Christ is the head of the church. According to Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Someone says the head of the church. God the Father wants the body of Christ, the body of the anointed one, to walk in the full authority and dominion of Christ over every work of darkness. 1 John 3 verse 8 says, whosoever commits sin is of the devil. He said, for this cause the Son of God was made manifest, even to destroy the works of the devil. Are you with me, church? But beyond that, he wants a church that looks like Christ, the head. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. Ephesians 5, 26 to 27. The Bible makes it clear to us that God is looking for a church, coming for a church without spot and without wrinkle. A church that looks like the head. My head is the head of an African man. Can you imagine what I would look like this morning if my body is the body of a Caucasian? A white man. My body is white. From my neck down, all white. My head, the head of an African man. Would you want to relate to such a person? If you see them on the plane, you ask the plane people to please change your seat. I've never seen this before. This is an Amo Lekutu Pebe Mpebe. You don't know that language? Amo Lekutu Pebe Mpebe. It sounds like Spanish, but it's Yoruba. Amo Lekutu Pebe Mpebe. When you see the head is white with curly hair, blue eyes. And then you see the body of the man, dark skin, like this one. Ah. The head is the head of a white man, the body is the body of a black man. I don't want to sit next to that kind of person. This looks like a demon. I've never seen that. Have you ever seen such a person before in your life? But that is what we look like when we are worldly as a church. Our head is Christ. He is godly. The body of Christ is supposed to look like the head of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Godliness has so crept into the church that the church today is doing exactly what the world is doing. In fact, doing better. People are using style to import into the church the practices of Babylon, the practices of the world we are bringing into Zion. Do you understand what Zion is? When they took them away to Babylon for captivity, they demanded them to sing a song. They said, oh yeah, sing the songs of Zion, the song of the Lord. The people burst into tears. They said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yay, we wept when we remembered Zion. Why? He said, the people that took us away captivity, when they required of us a song, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They are asking us to say, oh yeah, sing those song, worship songs of your church in the nightclub. Holy are you, Lord. All creation. Say, yeah, I like it, man. Call you God, oh God, worthy, oh, is your name. Bring your bumbo. Give me lap dance. We worship. Oh yeah, let me worship it. That's what we are doing. When we are worldly, when we don't look like Christ, when people come close to you and you don't look like Christ, you speak, you don't talk like Christ. In your conduct, you are not a Christian. You are a Christian by name. You speak in tongues, quite all right, but your character is chasing people to hell. God is looking for a church that resembles the head. That's why godliness is key. This is the picture of a church that is worldly rather than being godly. And I'm not referring to any religious organization in particular, but to us as believers. Just as it is awkward to have a Caucasian head on an African body, so it is to claim to have Christ as our head while we are worldly. We are worldly in our lifestyle. We are worldly in everything we do. This is what lack of consecration has produced over the years. The church needs to return back to Jesus. And many of our fathers in the faith need to return the church back to the head of the church. They need to return their congregation back to the owner of the church. It was Archbishop Duncan Williams, I think, who was quoting someone else that had that vision. And our father in the Lord said the same thing, that Jesus came to the door of the church and he was knocking. Somebody saw a vision and Jesus was asking the ushers, can I please come in? Can I please come in? Jesus, the head of the church, begging to come into his own house. What have we turned the house of the Lord into? In some churches, all you need to do is just give them beer. That's all. Every other thing is ready like nightclub. All you need to introduce, just give them boo, what to drink, and then give them girls. That's all. It's already a club. I say, you know, you can in his presence, anything goes. No, sir. Are you telling me God doesn't have a choice? He doesn't have a taste? The same God that will tell Moses, look, make a garment for Aaron, the high priest. This is how it should be. God was the first fashion designer to design the priest garment. He said because it's for beauty and for glory. If he cares about what they wear outside, don't you think he cares about what we wear inside? The state of our heart. That's why those of you that missed the last fasting, you need to fast on your own. And your prayer should be, Lord, help me to consecrate myself to you. Walk on my appetite. Walk on my desires. Walk on my cravings. What am I craving? Join us on MixLR this Tuesday at 6 a.m. That's the same prayer we're praying again. Lord, walk on me. Because there are things of God you will never taste if you don't consecrate yourself to God. You will have the normal blessings, but there are holy things that you will never be a partaker of. And there are higher things. And those are the realms where you begin to understand God's purpose for your life. I know how God has spoken to me. How I've heard him so clearly. We finished the general fast last Friday. Friday last week. And on Monday, I had the desire in me to be before the Lord. And Tuesday morning, I woke up with a deeper desire, deeper hunger. And I said, well, I'm going to go on a three-day fast. And it's not going to be three-day fast I'm going to be breaking. It's going to be a three-day marathon absolute fast. What the Yorubas call biri, biri. I walked into the kitchen. Breakfast was going to be made. And I said, please, don't make my own breakfast. Okay, so do we make dinner for you when we all want to break? No dinner. Oh, really? Any problem? No problem. I'm waiting before the Lord. I didn't taste food until after Bible study Thursday night. My first meal was the grapes I ate in my office. And in those 3 days, I've heard from God like never before. From day one, the Lord visited me in the night, showed me something about my personal life. I mean, so clear, confirmed it later in the day, and then testimonies started coming in as well, and then deeper things. And this is where my prayer is stemming from. That we need to, look guys, we need to pray consciously. God, work on my desires. Work on my appetites. Where the devil catches a lot of us is in the things we desire. The things we like. The devil will never tempt you with something you don't like. You may need to write it down. Let me go very quickly. Lord, give me speed now. Lack of intentional intimacy with the Holy Spirit, lack of desire for the Word of God, and a fervent prayer life. There is a form of godliness, but there's no power to back it up. Because it's an imitation, not the real deal. Anything goes kind of Christianity. No, sir. Not anything goes before God. 2 Timothy 2:19, please. Media, you need to be very fast now, and I'm very fast right now. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Read with me, everybody. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let's finish it together. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ remain in iniquity. What did he say we should do? Depart, run, flee, get out of iniquity. If you name the name of Christ, if you name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. God's foundation standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are his. Many people, they don't belong to God, but they claim by mouth they belong to God. But God knows those that are his. Alors, mentons, you. Romans 6, 1 to 2. Romans 6, 1 to 2, quickly, please, I beg you. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Kamari, Nepal, we? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? People say grace covers it all. Live anyhow. Once you say the salvation prayer, you can continue to live. Don't worry, grace has covered the rest of your life. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. No matter what you do, you don't need to repent anymore. I'm telling you, you're on your highway to hell. Shall we continue in sin and ask for grace to abound? Sin does not increase grace. Romans, still in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I can't read all of this. I wrote down verses 1 to 13. Write it down, but I can't read all of it. But I'll read verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know that song? But normally we skip the B part of it. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So we jump from, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Then we go to verse 2. Verse 2 says, come on now, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hey, there is something missing. Go back to verse 1, the B part of it. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Look at the choices you are making every day. Are you walking after the spirit or are you walking after the flesh? This is not a common message, but it's for thinking people. Are you still with me, church? If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Go to verse 13. Go to verse 13. Paul was writing this to believers. He wrote this epistle to believers. As I'm talking to believers this morning, he said in verse 13, for if you live, I know you are believers, if you live after the flesh, if you always obey the promptings and the cravings of your flesh, the desires of your flesh, what does the flesh like? Sex. What does the flesh like? Food. What does the flesh like? Pleasure. Faji. The flesh doesn't want stress, so I beg. Soft life. I don't want any stress, so. But there is nothing good that comes without stress. Yeshua, what level are you in medical school? 600 level. Final year. I figure all these years, you have just been eating, drinking, watching African Magic, Showmax, and what's that thing? Netflix, and you don't read, you just enjoy yourself, go to class, listen. You hardly even write exams. Did you ever prepare for any exam in your life? How did you get to 600 level? In medicine, they have to study so hard that sometimes all you are studying are just the phalanges, just these fingers. I remember one day she told me, I said, Pastor, God just said so, 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 so. God told her what area to read, and she passed the test. Others were reading other places. You can be reading score. Questions are coming from the phalanges. You have read zero. You read. Yes. Igiwe, yes. Eso Odo. Igiwe means the tree of book. Eso Odo means the fruit. Zero. Nothing. People read. But is it everybody that passes in medical school? They will still viva you. To become a doctor is not an easy task. Nobody becomes a doctor by just... I attended medical school in my dream. Medicine has always been my desire. Today I pronounce myself MBBS. UI, you need to confide to me. If you try that in UI, they will not fight with you. They just get security to bind you hand and leg, put you in a van, drive you to UCH. This person needs the attention of doctors in PLU, Professor Lambo Unit, to give him lagati so that he can sleep, so that his brain can reset. To even be a boxer, you think it's a small job? To be a professional boxer, Anthony Joshua, that guy beat him. I don't like that Anthony Joshua. He's a lazy guy. Lazy. To even be beaten in boxing is a job. How many of us can withstand the punches of a heavyweight champion? The punches of someone like Mike Tyson. One punch is 10 bags of cement. Imagine that. If they give some of us, we go, come back, go again. Come back, go again. Look at the way he messed up Evander Holyfield. Back in those days, you guys were kids at that time. Evander Holyfield was a big guy with a big chest. Mike Tyson gave him one uppercut. Pia. Evander. He got up. When he got up, he fell forward on the rings. He fell forward on the ring. The thing pushed him by. He fell back again. One blow. We used to call it in Mokola, one blow, seven dies. To achieve that, Tyson said he trains with a tiger. So he said, I train with an animal. And I know it's a mortal combat. So when I'm in the ring, I'm looking at my opponent like that animal.
And I'm thinking, I've read a book about him. I read a lot. I read different kind of stuff. He said, I'm looking at how to use my punch to drive the bone of his nose back to his brain. I feel like poking a toothpick into his ears. I want pain. I like it when I put pain on my opponent. I enjoy it. Because Tyson understands that in boxing, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? There is nobody that becomes anything important in life who will not go through processing, who will not go through stress. You want to give birth to a child, you just wish. Go and buy one on eBay if you don't want to go through pain. Buy one on eBay. Do you think it's easy for a woman to carry pregnancy through 9 months and then to push? The nurses and the midwives, they say, push, come on, push, push. I'm pushing, I'm pushing. That's why when women are not trained, at such moments, they curse their husbands. Kule, you put me in this condition all your life. Everything you touch, they say, masibwe. Kule, they say, masibwe for me. The time of sowing the seed was very sweet. Pleasure. Say, my guy, that's my guy. Alpha, show David. Pleasure. Pleasure. But the time of delivery, the time of collecting result. Are you with me, church? Romans 12, 1 to 2. Paul the Apostle wrote. Sorry, we haven't quoted the earlier Romans 8, 13. Go to verse 13. Go back to verse 13. I'm going to take back my 10 minutes. I gave it to you before. I'm taking it back now. Glory be to God. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. He was writing this to Christians. Don't live after the flesh. Everything the flesh wants, don't give it. If you keep giving it what it wants, you will die. You go, amen. But if you, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, it is possible to be a Christian, to be a believer, but you are living after the flesh. It's a choice. The day everybody's fasting, you eat. I can't kill myself. I can't come and go and die. Me lewa lo ku. The body says, I want to sleep, you sleep. I want to eat food, oh, you eat. Sex, oh, who is available? You can't live like that. That's irresponsible Christian living. Remove Christian, irresponsible living. But if you through the Holy Ghost, because we can't do it by ourselves, you need the Holy Spirit. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Take the deeds of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the cravings, the desires of the flesh to the mortuary. The word mortify is from the same root as the word mortuary. In the mortuary, no dead body argues. Why are you touching me now? This place, is it not enough for all of us dead bodies? If they hear that kind of voice in the morgue, they're going to bring out that guy. Anything you do to a dead body. Oh, I've seen dead bodies before. Oh, pitiful. Oh, sad. Oh, it makes people cry. Especially if they're your loved ones. And they throw them away. That's my daddy. Don't throw them away. Oh, that's your daddy. The mortuary attendants. Ujuti da. They've seen all kinds of dead bodies. So they just throw the man. Fear. The man can hit his head on a tree. They don't care. It is just, daddy. Because you knew him when he was alive and you're still assuming he's still alive. No, he's gone to heaven. If he made Jesus the Lord of his life. Paul said, take the deeds of the flesh to the mortuary. Treat him like they treat the cadaver. Treat sex, the desire for inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. If you are not yet married, you are not supposed to be having sex. But how many people understand that in this generation? That's old school. If I have a boyfriend, why can't we do it? I love him, he loves me. That's what is trending online. Like, are you crazy, sir? Are you normal? This generation, I have a boyfriend. Yes, now. I will even go and wash his clothes. Well, that's why they use you, misuse you, abuse you. Then when they are done, dump you in a pedal bin. Because you have no value for yourself. A man that has not paid your bride price, you are cooking for him, washing his clothes, doing house chores. Say, ah, pastor, if you don't do that, how can you keep the relationship? Is that to keep a relationship? As you do it, finish, you go back home, another person is coming to resume. That's why, you see, when a relationship breaks, it is the girls that lose the most. You say, ah, with all I did for him, with all I did, what did you do? They can't say. I gave him my all. I gave him my all. All what? Tell us. All is all. But would you give your all? When you should invest time in your future. Am I making sense to someone this morning? Romans 12, 1 to 2. Paul, the apostle, said something. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul was literally begging. I beg you that you... Have you added my 10 minutes? No, they haven't. So add my 10 minutes. Oh. I said, give me back my 10 minutes. They didn't hear me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your body. I know your spirit man is already saved, but I beg you, present also your body. Hypergrace, people. Everything is spirit. Spirit is only my body that committed that sin, and not my spirit. Grace covers my spirit. It was my body that committed the... It was a sleep. It was just a sleep. You slept with somebody. No, it was just a mistake. Have you repented? I don't need to repent. I'm in a state of perpetual salvation. My salvation is eternal. I was redeemed by eternal blood into an eternal family. I carry eternal grace. Everything is eternal. And the life in me is eternal life. Okay. When you catch HIV, it is your body that will catch the HIV. Abi, it will not touch your spirit. But that body will suffer. If you steal money and we catch you, is your body, is not your spirit. We shall, by the grace of God, send that body to jail. But your spirit will be at home. People don't know that even when you do right things, like praying, you always start with the body. Then you wind up in the spiritual dimension. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning, church? Praying starts in the natural. You kneel down or you stand and you open your mouth. It's all natural. But then that which is spiritual will kick in. That's what the Bible teaches. Be not conformed to this world. I beg you, young people, don't be conformed to this world. Don't copy this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I have an amen? Let us not blend with this world. We should have relationships, but ours should be different. These things are worldly. We Galatians 5, 16. I must not forget this one. Galatians 5, 16. Paul the apostle said, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When I was struggling with my flesh, this was one scripture God used to help me. Like every Christian. There was a time I was struggling. Ah, God, I will not do it again. I'll go and do it. Ah, God, if I one time I say, God, if I do it again, just kill me like that. I looked at me, it's okay. We shall see again. We saw again the next day on my knees. God, God. Then one day in my place of meditation, he saw my heart. He gave me this scripture. You can live in the spirit and walk in the flesh. But it says, if you live in the spirit, walk also in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. That is the antidote to fulfilling the lust of the flesh. In other words, the desire to smoke or the desire to drink comes. The desire will come to the flesh. If I respond in the flesh, I will drink. Now, I never drank, I never smoked, or something else. I'm just using that as an example, right? So, but when that desire comes, I can get up and turn that moment to a time of prayer. I can turn it to a time of worship. I can go out and evangelize. That same moment, I am responding to the Spirit of God that always wants me to do right. I am not responding to my flesh that always wants me to do wrong. Listen to me, the longest day you live, your flesh is not born again.
It is your spirit man that is born again, that is saved, that wants everything godly. Your body does not want to serve God. My body does not want to serve God. Fasting is as difficult for you as it is for me. Prayer is as difficult for you as it is for me. Everybody enjoys sleeping, especially early in the morning. Am I talking, people? When you wake up around 5:30, and then somebody now says, come on, mix a lot to come and pray. You don't want to come, oh. You want to sleep small. Anybody knows what I mean by sleep small? You know that little sleep, that small sleep. You pull your duvet. That's the sweetest part of sleep. And that's what you need to give up when you want to pray early in the morning. Walk in the spirit. So get up. Father, I thank you for this morning. I don't feel like praying. I'm reporting myself, but I love you. And I want you to know I'm up. I've woken up today and I love you, Lord. And I receive strength to pray. That's responding in the spirit. That's walking in the spirit. Not covering your head with duvet. And say, let me sleep more. I will join them later. You will join them when you hear. Let me move on very quickly. Because I need to push this somewhere. You see, all the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh are listed in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Fornication, adultery, the rest of them. These things are worldly things. Christians engage in them. What they do is that they turn you into a worldly Christian. They make you worldly. So you are not different from the sinners who are doing the same thing. And you need to step away from them. You need to not engage them continually anymore. Let me tell you this. The heart can be so exercised in sin continually. At some point, it becomes rebellious to Jesus, the head of the church. And its conscience becomes seared. Be careful. 1 Timothy 4:2. You need to get this explanation. Put it on the screen for me. 1 Timothy 4:2. 1 Timothy 4:2, please. It says, 4:2, 2, 2, verse 2, verse 2, verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, whose conscience is seared with a hot iron. That's what verse 2 says. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Right? Now, what does it mean to have your conscience seared with the hot iron? Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Your feeling is the voice of your body. Your reasoning is the voice of your soul. So, when you do wrong, let's say you tell a lie, your spirit, your born-again spirit will speak and say, oh boy, you have lied. That's your conscience. Anytime you do wrong, your conscience condemns you. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. He's waiting for you to repent. He wants to comfort you. He wants to help. But your human spirit that is born again will condemn you. That thing you told pastor is a lie. And you know, you added to it. And you remove one part. Conscience. But you know what happens? When you lie repeatedly, lie. Your conscience will die. Because it will keep telling you, as you lie, it will say, no. You keep la. Your la will overcome the no of the conscience. So after a while, the conscience will keep quiet. Because if I tell you now, you will not listen to me. Inside. That's why you see some people do things, they don't feel it. What did you do? You're a Christian. Say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with what I did? Is there anything wrong there? They caught a man of God. They said a musician, a worship leader was sent from a church in Abuja to his church in Ibadan. So she came. She ministered. After ministering, he took her to the hotel to lodge her as guest minister. So he ministered to her sexually. So after the ministration, the lady now, her conscience, So she reported to the man of God that sent her from Abuja to come and minister here. So that man of God now said, Reverend, Kilo Day, I sent you a minister in our church. And you bulala her like that. He said, No, I did not sleep with her. I'm telling you a real life story. The man in Abuja told me, I did not sleep with her. Don't be talking like that. I don't like it. We slept with each other. Oh. men of corrupt minds. Corrupt minds. You know what has happened to him? His conscience has died. The man of God, Kenneth E. again, gave an example. He said he was living with an 80-something-year-old Methodist man. Old man. Many years ago when he was a young man, pastoring. Early in the morning, he was shocked one day. This man was boiling coffee on a stove. And then he took the coffee from the stove, poured it in his mug, and as soon as he poured it, he took the mug and drank the whole cup. Boiling coffee, piping hot. He said the moment the man put it in his mouth, he said, whoosh, whoosh. He was the onlooker. So the man stopped and said, what's the problem? He said he could feel his own tongue, esophagus, everything burn. But the man didn't feel anything. The man didn't start that day. He had been doing it for long. When you drink hot water, try it 3, 4, 5 days. All the cells here will die. They will become insensitive. So when you drink hot coffee around us, it is us you will punish. Because we will feel the pain. It's not there, but it's imaginary. Have they slapped somebody beside you before and your own head shook? They didn't slap you. A soldier, if a soldier slaps, it's called ripple effect. Now, the man doesn't feel it anymore. Like my mom. My mom used to carry hot things. Oh, blessed be her memory. My mom used to carry hot pot from the stove. Oh, no woman. She would carry hot pot like this, and then she begin to pound it. Buka, buka, buka. No gloves, Kilonja kitchen gloves. Hot! She would tell me, I'll go and carry that thing. I'll go and look for nappy first. I'll go and look for something. 5 minutes, I'm still looking for a rag to carry hot plates. My mom would just carry, and then carry it again. But if she slapped you with those hands, you are slapped. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those hands were already, the cells there were already dead. That's how the human conscience is very tender. Like the cells of your taste bud, your tongue. You know this place is very tender, very sensitive. If I eat something hot, it's going to burn me. And 3 days, I'm still feeling that that place is dead. Some people's conscience is dead. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said they have a conscience that is seared with a hot iron. Did you get that? Let us never get to that point. When you exercise your heart continually in sin, you keep sinning, you keep sinning, you will get to that point where you don't feel it anymore. You will disrespect the Lord Jesus. They will tell you, what you are doing is wrong. You say, no, it doesn't matter. Has God condemned me? Is he not blessing me after all? Is he not giving me money? Is he not giving me a new job? I just got a new job. I just got a car. If God were angry with me, why would he be blessing me? No, suffer me now. Hey, 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 hey. It's an error. Error of people with corrupt minds. You are supposing that gain is godliness. Godliness is profitable, but gain is not godliness. If God were not on my side, how would I have applied for the job and they would give me the job? The blessing of the Lord is not a sign of his approval. Let's be careful. Is somebody getting blessed this morning? What then is godliness? Godliness is to live like Christ. Christ is our perfect example. Christ is the head of the church. It is people seeing Jesus Christ in you when they get to know and interact with you. When they get to interact with your content on social media, do they see Christ? When they live with you, do they see Christ? What is contentment? I'm wrapping up now. Contentment is a virtue. It's a deep-seated, listen to me, oh, please write if you're writing. It's a deep-seated inner satisfaction that stems from gratitude to God for what you have. I didn't look up the dictionary for this. The Holy Spirit gave me this definition. I prayed. Holy Spirit, I want your own definition of contentment. I'll say it again. He said, it's a deep-seated inner satisfaction that stems from gratitude to God for what you have. You have something. Somebody say, I have something. People that have contentment maintain a positive outlook to life. And good things that others die to chase eventually come to them. The word of God encourages us to be content. 1 Timothy 6:8, it said, therefore, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Many people are dead today. They are in the grave today because of lack of contentment. Ojuko Koro, I need Telorun. Whatever they have is not good enough. It is what someone else has. The grass is always greener on the other side of their fence. Lack of contentment is what has led many people into their early grave today. Lack of contentment. Somebody buys a car in a church. Camry 2010. In the same church, you see another brother. He can't sleep when he gets home. Oh, Lord God of heaven. Oh, Lord God of hosts. God, when? Now, God, me, I don't want Camry 2010. My own car must be bigger and better than that of Brother King. Brother King met me in the church. I taught him BBC. I was the one that welcomed him to the expression house. Lord, you gave him Camry 2010. Give me Camry 2015. At least I managed 2012. Let it just be higher than his. And that is his prayer point. That's why we have rat race in the church. Are you grateful for what you have? Lack of contentment is why people compare themselves with other people. Lack of contentment is why you feel inferior to someone because he just came from the UK. He just came from America. Did he come from heaven? UK is a country. America is a country. Canada is a country. Nigeria is a country. Amen? I ministered in a church in America some years ago. After the service, the head usher ran to the guy that drove me to the church to collect my number. The guy said, he doesn't live here. He lives in Nigeria. The guy said, no, I can't believe that. Look at the way he was speaking. No. You don't want to give me his number? I will approach him myself. The guy said, he's my guest. He lives in Nigeria. They didn't know the difference between America and me when I was preaching. So it's not written on the forehead. Be content with what you have. Someone eats white rice. Someone eats jollof rice and chicken. But God has blessed me with white rice and fish. Omo, na rice we chop. You ate rice, I chop rice. You ate coconut rice, I ate ofada. Even ofada gone is expensive. Even normal white rice is expensive. So as God has blessed you, God has blessed me. Somebody is driving a Lamborghini. Somebody is driving a Volkswagen Beetle. You don't drive car. You know what we say? You are mobile. And I'm also mobile. Baby, even with Okada, I am mobile. But people are not content. Oluwa Olorun, mercy this. Nonsense. People kill themselves because of material things. When you combine godliness with contentment, the Holy Spirit said through Paul the Apostle, it is great gain. 1 Timothy 6 says, it is great gain when you combine godliness with contentment. Iwabi Olorun is godliness. Contentment is itelorun. When you combine Iwabi Olorun with itelorun, Paul said it is equal to great gain. I have gained in my life. The greatest gain of my life is to know Christ. Ask anybody. I don't ever in my life feel inferior to anybody. My mate, because he's driving a G-Wagon, Who told you that my own G-Wagon is not on the way if I desire it? Don't feel inferior because of what you drive or what you have, what you don't have. Be glad because of who you have. Not what you have, who you have. Who do you have? Jesus. Do you have Jesus, the Son of God? You have all the treasures of heaven in you. That's the greatest. I attended a remedial class many, many years ago. I was in that class with then, maybe one of the best schools in Ibadan was ISI, most expensive secondary schools back in the day. We didn't have all these schools that you have now. I finished from St. Gabriel's Secondary Commercial School, Sabo Mokola Ibadan. They only put Mokola for dignity, it's actually Sabo. But we normally say Sabo Mokola Ibadan, Famsi. In that class in Bodija, I tackled the teacher one day in test of orals. All the ISI students were looking at me like this. I knew what I was saying. It was a jam class. I knew what I was saying. I mean, when I finished school, that was the year after I finished school, I made A3 in English. A3 then was the only distinction in our school. Only 5 out of 196 passed English. Mine was the best result, A3. So I knew what I was saying. I had already become a teacher while I was yet a student. I said, sir, that phonetic symbol, the way you pronounced it is not right. And I can give you examples. I said it very politely. The man took me up. What do you mean? What do you know? I said, sir, shall we please consult a dictionary just to see who is right and who is wrong? What do you mean, this young man? Okay, bring out the dictionary. I brought out the dictionary. I was right, he was wrong. He said, no. This Oxford, let me see the year of that dictionary. The next day, he brought his own dictionary. In between, all the ISI, they were all botty people, you know. People with glasses. You know, guys that walk like this. Hey, Afa. You didn't see me where? See me on the stage. Afa. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, hi. That's how they walk. And the glasses, they always wear glasses. Me, I used to convert to wear glasses that time. I didn't know it was not good. But me, I be more like half an hour. We don't greet you, we don't go. Where's it? The teacher brought his dictionary. I was still right. Those guys said what marveled them about me was, I mean, a lot of them were big, tall, everything. And you know me, I'm very tall spiritually. They said that guy has confidence. See, the guy know they feel inferior because most of my the kind of people that came from where I came from, they were trying to be their friends. I didn't care. I walked into class. I went straight to my seat. I sat. I listened. I paid attention. I know how my parents got the money to send me there. Even me, if I don't work part time to put money together to go to school to come and be. I didn't have time to be your friend. You be my friend or get out. Well, get time to be your friend. They said, man, we like that guy. I've had a healthy self-image for a long time. It is not now that one devil will make me feel inferior because your father is the Senate president. For what? Alpha, how you doing, bro? That's it. And then off we go. Who is the son of a senator? So we'll begin to worship him then. Superiority complex and inferiority complex, both of them, they belong to the devil. Satan is an embodiment of both. Don't feel superior to anybody. If you don't feel superior to some people you think are below your level, you can never feel inferior to anybody. Because you flow with everybody the same way. Can I have an amen? Amen. Be content with such things as you have. Don't be licking people's boots because you want wig. Wig that they have used. You'll be licking their boot. So they'll say, well, I don't have time. Oh, yeah, call me at 9 o'clock. Hello, babe. That your wig now. That your... Ladies, I don't know what happens in your world, but I'm begging you, don't bring yourself down. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be content with what you have. If it's only 1 week, give it to Jumoke. She will help you dry clean it. And you wait again to smell nice. She's in church this morning. Some people will go and sleep with men so that they can afford bone straight. But that's why your bone is not straight. Just for iPhone. Whoa, Egbo, listen to me. The way Yahoo boys are using girls now in the Southwest. We thought it was terrible before. Now, there's a war. Have you seen videos recently online? Is it one girl? They tied her arm and leg, then tied her mouth.
On the verse of the sheep to the slaughter. As they keep using them, the girls don't listen. They keep following these boys. They threw one out of a black jeep at challenge. Somebody said, by the time guys went to rescue her, they thought they wanted to rescue. Maggots were coming out of her private. Maggots. I've seen a video before. I just didn't know how to bring the video to church. It will be pornographic. They pulled out a live toad, Opolo. They pulled it out from somebody's private. A lady came to see me last week. She said this happened to her own sister. Gong, gong. Slept with the man, collected money, but used female condom. So by the time she removed the condom, she saw the child, I don't know what you call it in English, but the child of a snake. Is that a snakes? Lion, lioness. Tiger, tigress, snake. Inside condom. And we keep telling you, and you do not hear. Say, no. I fortify myself. I just heard. My brother was telling me one yesterday. The girl in Budija, she had a nice car. Big girl, always coming back in the night. Nice car, living alone. Big boys are coming. She shrank to death. Ogbeku. 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 All the mofine. Fine girl. Gone. Who is the owner of the car now? Vanity upon vanity. Because you lack contentment. If fufu is what they can afford in your family, eat with your parents. A time is coming. God will bless you. You will buy a nice house for your parents. You don't need to go and sleep with a married man. You see the way I'm shouting now. Sheng Bamiho. Godliness, because if they use you and they bring you to church for deliverance, I will finish you. I will not be available to do deliverance for you. And I've done many deliverances though, privately. I just don't like to embarrass people. Male and female. And the Yahoo boys who go and use somebody's blood to make a soap, then you still go mad. They normally run mad. Don't mind Yahweh at some point. I've conducted deliverance. I told the boy, oh, my you are chasing me, my bow you are going to let her know. My fuele shele nugidi. My foshele undo. My foshele undo. Oh, what? Yeah, give him up. If I pray, get out. If you say you want to be fighting me, I don't have that. My bachi, I'm a lorio. I told the brother, oh, your brother very well, though. I don't have time. The one demon will not be giving me blue. For what? Was I there when you were collecting money? You people, you like Jesus too much. Please let me. My time is up. I want to give you two benefits. I will just mention it. I wish I could give you scriptures. Benefits of this combination. Maybe next week I'll continue. Number one, it brings, you see, godliness with contentment brings promotion. Number two, it brings protection. It will save your life. Godliness with contentment. I will give you scriptures. Should I continue next week? Stand on your feet, everybody.